Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ his Son, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalm 446. Out of the depth of sadness, O Lord, I cried to thee. 446. All stanzas.
We wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 10, the first 14 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Thus far.
Congregation, let's ask for an undeserved blessing in. O Lord, almighty and holy, adorable God, creator of heaven and earth, and also our maintainer, day by day. And we cannot, we will not, we do not feel that every moment. We are not able to live to thy honor. But especially when a child is born, like in the family of one of us, baby girl is born. Fill our hearts with thankfulness, and that the honor may be for thee, O our Creator and Maintainer. And that that little girl may be born, that she not only will be born, but also will be reborn. That that rebirth will be given by the works of thy Holy Ghost into her heart, as young as it is possible, and it is possible even for unborn children to be renewed, to be united with thee, O Lord Jesus Christ. And also the young children in our midst this afternoon, They pray for a new heart every day. Cleanse their heart. They have a black heart, a sinful heart. And not only the children, also adults and older people, the oldest of us, we all need that new life. O fount of consolation, attend unto our cry. Teach us crying, O Lord. May there be a crying people in the midst of our congregation. May there be a poor people, and that they may sing with our psalter, "Hear thou my supplication, and to my help draw nigh." O Lord, be with us. It's so undeserved, we are not worthy, but we need it. And especially thy people to be instructed by thy Holy Ghost, but also the unconverted ones, they need to be made life alive. God, we cannot live to thy honor, but it's the purpose of our life, and we lost it all in Adam's deep fall, our covenant head. And give us, we beseech it, an impression of thy faithfulness, proven to us unworthy sinners, not only by words and deeds, but especially by our faults. All our faults are known by thee. Oh, there is nothing in us to be proud of, nothing to thy honor. And so it's a wonder that we are allowed to live this day and be here this afternoon. Oh God, thou art so righteous, thou art so holy, full of majesty. And this morning we heard how thou works in thy church, thy living church, to cut off everything and to give an eye outside of ourselves unto him who is the Lamb of God, that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he has suffered. He is crucified. And he is buried. He is alive again. Oh, may we be served out of him to be made alive, so that it may be a lively church, a lively school, lively families. And also in our country, for the government, we pray, lead them in thy pathways. We are so far away from thee, not willing to seek thee. We do not want to live by thy word and spirit, by thy commandments. We make our own commandments. Oh, it is a difficult time to have children and to educate them, to instruct them, to be an example. But, O Lord, there is a covenant from eternity. And there is a covenant head, the King of Kings, the King of the Church. And the Prince of Darkness has lost everything on Calvary's Hill. It was finished. The purpose was right there. The price was paid for thy church. And now they are you, and now thou art gathering thy church. O Lord Jesus, send out thy Holy Ghost to be with us and to lead us in the pastures of thy holy word. And may our prayer be, I wait for God, my soul. My soul shall hope in his unfailing word. For the first time of my renewal, that thou wouldst open thy word for our hearts. And like Lydia, open our hearts for thy word. And then to wait for Jehovah with more intense desire than watches for the morning to dawn of day aspire. We ask it in Jesus' name. Help us with the strange language. Help us understanding thy word. Help us every word, every sentence. And forgive our dirty sins, our godlessness. We ask it in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalm 416, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Bitter tears of lamentation are my food by night and day. And then 3, O my soul, why art thou grieving? And 4, from the land beyond the Jordan I bewail my misery. 2, 3, and 4 of 416. congregation, the word of God that we, with the help of the Lord, hope to consider this afternoon is of the Gospel according to John chapter 10, verse 9, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Thus far. We place above the sermon this afternoon, Jesus Christ, the door of the sheep. Jesus Christ, the door of the sheep. And I hope to consider this in four thoughts. First, the image. Which picture does the Lord Jesus uses here? Secondly, the wall. Because if there is a door, every child knows that if there is a door, there has to be a wall. Otherwise, you don't need a door. First, that wall, and then the door, and fourthly, the sheep. So, we have four thoughts about this theme. Jesus Christ, the door of the sheep. The first thought, the image. What's the image? Secondly, the wall. And thirdly, the door. And fourthly, the sheep. This is a parable. So we ask first, what does the Lord Jesus mean by this image? I am the door of the sheep. There are more I am texts, especially in John 10, or John 15, I am the vine. And time and again, the light falls on Christ. He is revealing something about himself. He is telling something about himself. If he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches, that is about people that bear no fruit by themselves. They need the vine. Otherwise, they cannot bring forth fruit. And then we know that we are fruitless by nature. If he says, I am the light of the world, then he said about us that we are in darkness, that we follow the prince of darkness. That we are fallen so deep that everything is dark. Dark of sins. Dark of iniquities. We walk in darkness. And we have no light. But he is the light. We need him. In another place it says, I am the way. That says that we are lost. We lost the way. We do not know how to walk in the right ways. Therefore we pray and sing, lead us in thy pathways by the Holy Spirit. By nature we all walk on the broad way, but now we have to be made alive and then are put on the small, the narrow way. And he says, I am the way. By nature we are like sheep. We have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, Isaiah says. That is the way we have chosen in paradise. Away from God. And it ends in eternal perdition. But the Lord Jesus says, I am the way. He means I am the way back to God. I am the only way. And also he says, I am the truth, for instance. The truth. Because we are followers of the prince of the liars. Oh, we are so untruthfulness. And he also says, I am the life that says about us that we need him to live eternally, because we have chosen death in paradise. We have departed from God. And we know the soul that sins will die. That's God's word. And God's children are going to learn, I am in the midst of death. We lie in the, not present time. We lie in the midst of death. I know we do not want to hear that. In fact, we are all Pharisees and scribes who want to have something. We want to be something, also in church and in church life. Oh, in our own way, we are all self-made religious men. But the Lord Jesus says, there are people who climb over the wall, who can it by themselves, but no, that's not the right entrance. You need to come in through the door, and I am the door. And the Lord Jesus is appointed from eternity as the only Savior. And that's why he's called Jesus. I am the Savior. I am the Redeemer of all my children. I am the Preserver of the people. I have been appointed by God from eternity. And in time God the Father has said it, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Do you know him? Do you know him really? Experiential? That knowledge of faith? Did you see him? That's a very important question. Because without the Lord Jesus, we cannot meet God. If we die, we stand before God. And without belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot survive them. There will be an eternal death. Oh, in this afternoon, the Lord Jesus says unto you, I am the door to eternal life. I am the door back to God. I am the door of the sheep. What does the Lord Jesus mean? What kind of picture or image is he using here? Well, we have to think of a stable, not like our stables, no, different times. Different country, it's about Israel 2,000 years ago. And all the hearers of the Lord Jesus Christ knew what was a stable. It's differently, but it was quite simple. In fact, a stable, a cage for the sheep, it was not more than a square made of stones. It was a place to hide, especially in the night, a place of shelter. There were piles of stones piled up like a wall. And in such a separate place, that is where the sheep were at night. It was necessary to go inside at night, because at night the wild animals came. For instance, wolves. For instance, poisonous snakes. Boys and girls, such a poisonous snake can bite you and can bite into such a sheep. And after 30 minutes, He's no longer alive. And at night, they came out, wolves and snakes. And that is spiritually also the case. What do we mean then by that snake, that poisonous snake? We should think about that old snake in paradise who said unto Eve something that was poison. It's Satan. And he injects us with his poison into our soul. He injects us with thoughts about sin, with views and pictures full of sin. That's poison for your soul. Satan wants you not to go to heaven. No. He wants you to sin. He wants you to be poisoned. He wants you to die an eternal death. He wants you to be in hell, where he will be. And if you have seen that you have sinned, it is he that has first tempted to do so, and now he is going to say, do you really think that sin and grace can go together? So don't pray anymore. The snake is mean. Wolves are also the animals that came out in Israel at night. Wolves, sharp teeth, powerful. And look at the sheep. They are totally defenseless. You won't see any tusks if you see sheep. You also don't see any sharp claws. No. They cannot defend themselves. They are defenseless. And that's why a good shepherd, wants to make a cage for his sheep, an enclosure, a shelter. Do we call that a sheepfold? It was nothing more than a wall, square wall. And in that wall has to be a door. That is not a door like we know that is a door. No, it was an opening. Simply an opening in that wall. And at night, the shepherd was in that opening. He stood there, and the sheep came in, he led them in, and they were now in that secure, safe place. And if the beast of prey come out, then the shepherd sits in the gate watching over his sheep. Sometimes he slept and lied in the opening to prevent the sheep. And yes, if probably he was prepared of thieves also. Thieves could come and steal a lamb. No. Then they had to pass him. They had to enter in, and then he should wake. Boys and girls, how can you get into that sheepfold? Please give me an answer. Whispering, how can you come in? That's so simple. Only through the door. Yes, but someone says, you can come in another way. You can also come in climbing over the wall. No, says the Lord Jesus. you must pass through the door. For who enters into that hiding place through me, the door, will be saved. That is the spiritual meaning of this parable. And this brings us to our second thought. The wall. Lord Jesus doesn't talk about a wall, but there is a wall. And now spiritually, do you know something of a wall? Standing in front of a wall, not able to go further, but stopped by a wall? People who are in front of a wall and cannot go further, listen to them, but they pray. If they bow their knees, listen what they say. Oh Lord, I've sinned. I'm not a sheep, nor am I worthy to hide in that safe place behind the wall. Because that is a safe place of the good shepherd for his sheep, but I am not a sheep. I feel like a goat. I am not a member of thy flock. And I stand before a wall of God's righteousness, before a wall of sin and iniquity. And they have been reminded of their actual sins by the Holy Spirit. They try to do not sin anymore, but doesn't work. But if the Holy Spirit continues to work, then they also learn where that sin comes from. It comes from inside out. It comes from their evil hearts. And then they learn with David in Psalm 51, it is not only this evil that cries out for punishment. No, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. So that they become Adam before God. It's not only this and that that make that I have guilt by God. But it's my whole existence. I am sold under sin, Paul says. And now they are going to discover that their root is rotten. That their root is wrong. And that the source here inside is muddy. Totally stained and defiled. Adam before God. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is, the deep fall in Adam? That you have seen something of that holiness of God and that righteousness of God. And every day sins are multiplying. And what does it say in Genesis 3? After that deep fall in obedience, a rebellion against God. So he, that is the Holy God, drove out the man out of paradise. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. We can no longer go back to paradise. That road is totally, finally closed. No entrance anymore. That is that wall of God's righteousness. That is that wall of God's holiness. There is a bricked up wall. No return is possible to God.
No more homecoming coming to God. No more security. No rest. No peace. No love. We have lost everything. We have lost God Himself. Did you feel that any time? One time that you feel God is, I miss God. Oh, the fellowship with God is broken. That's the reality. And by nature, we don't feel that. Our eyes are closed. We don't feel that. We don't need Him. But if the Holy Ghost comes and puts a drop of love in our heart, in that moment of regeneration, oh yeah, then the Lord opens your eyes. And then you see the distance between God and your unholy soul. And then the wild animals come. The enemies that roam around you. The birds. The devil. And your own evil flesh. And you are defenseless against that enemies. Against those enemies you cannot defend yourself. You are so defenseless like a sheep against a wolf. You can't stand up to the devil. Don't try it. And be not in his neighborhood. Flee away from him. Flee from sin. Flee from the devil. It's not only the devil. It's also the world. But don't think that the world is outside. The world is in the church. The world is in me. I am only worldly inside. You too. You all. That's what the word of God says. And that inside worldliness, oh, we like it by nature. Oh, we love it. We do not tell everything to others, but yeah, we can... live worldly, think worldly, longing for worldly things, no problem. And if the world comes and pulls, we are open to it, and our own flesh is a friend to the world. And my greatest enemy is my own sinful flesh. And God's children start to struggle, start to strive against it. But then they will learn that they are defenseless in themselves against all temptation and sin. Have you learned that already? You can think that you will try that and you can promise the Lord something, but you fall back and then you will learn what your misery is, being outside of paradise. To have lost God and not to be able to go back because the justice of God demands perfect obedience like Adam. That's utterly impossible anymore. Is there a way of possibility? Oh yeah, some churches that preach say we have to believe, accept the Lord Jesus for your own soul, and then it's okay. You are a child of God. Go to Holy Supper. But that's not what God's word says. No. No. The word of God teaches us that there is a closed wall, the wall of God's righteousness. But what about that third promise in Genesis 3? I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his knee, his heel. God will put enmity in between Satan's seed and the seed of the woman. That is, between the devil and between the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is promised in Genesis 3, that second Adam, that blessed second Adam is promised. And he will be born as a savior, the redeemer of his people, who will make the way back and make a door in that solid wall of God's righteousness. He is the door. He makes a breach in the wall. He opens the way back to paradise. Think about the murderer at the cross. Today, you will be with me in paradise. How is that possible? Because the Lord Jesus Christ paid the guilt of the murderer at the cross. So he is the door back to paradise. He is the door, the entrance to heaven. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's children learn experientially that they are not worthy. Again, not worthy to go back. You read that in that history of the murderer at the cross, was sided by the Lord Jesus at the cross. He liked sin, but now he hates sin, all sins. Oh, there is a wall between God, the Holy God, and my soul. And then you hear of the sheep. And you hear of a place to hide. And you hear something of the Good Shepherd. He's proclaimed as the Redeemer. And he is the door. And he is the light. And he is the Son of God. And he has paid what you never are able to pay. And you start to long for him. You are longing for the door, to find the door, and that door will be open for you. And you can be so wholly jealous about the children of God who have here in the front of the church Holy Supper, like sheep in a secret place. And the Good Shepherd leads them and comforts them. But you are so poor, for you have no place. But be honest, if you learn that you are Adam in yourself, if you really learn that God is holy and that you love him and miss him, can you say then honestly that the Lord is a land of utter darkness? Be honest before God, before his countenance. Because the Lord says in Isaiah 66, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Look in this mirror. Do you recognize yourself? That you are poor? That you have a contrite spirit? That you are trembling at his holy word with so much reverence? And that you are judged by his word, but are pulled to his word again, because it's his word. Or if you miss God, you learn, I cannot miss him anymore. And then you learn, I have to die, and I cannot die. Oh, then you tremble at that word of the Holy God, like Israel trembled at the foot of Sinai when the Ten Commandments were given. Oh, dear people of God, who are so poor in themselves, so miserable. Were you never, never comforted by one word? Never? Be honest. Don't forget that the word was opened up sometimes and it closed again, I know, but don't forget it. Sometimes it's like you feel not anymore like a goat, but like a lamb in springtime, full of joy and full of life. But sometimes, and so short, only some hours or minutes, but that points of light in your life, that you can breathe again, that comforting blessings, that is a comfort, but it can also be dangerous. What do you mean? Well, some people draw conclusions. They say, the Lord knows me. He knows of me. When he comforted me, he knew my circumstances. He heard my prayer. And I was able to sing along so sweetly with that nice psalter. And then, yeah, you maybe have a little feeling that gets warm for the Lord. And they experience something of miraculous faith, and secretly you start to climb in, You cannot climb in this cage, this hiding place over the wall. You have to go in by the door, by the perfect entrance. That is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because there has to be a perfect righteousness when you stand before God one time. And there is only one perfect righteousness, that is the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the holy, godly, just judge, he only wants to see you if he has created you in paradise, in perfect righteousness. God demands justice. He can't even see us without it. So, standing in front of the wall of God's righteousness. Oh, standing before that wall, God's really true children sink lower and lower. Oh, they try to cry. They try to pray, and they cannot. And people, if you don't want to say, if you don't know what to say about to the Lord, take your psalter book, because there you read what God's children have prayed all the time, ages and ages. Like what we have sang the first psalter from Psalm 130, out of the depth I cry unto thee, O Lord.
trying to find an opening in the wall of God's righteousness. But there are new sins. There are new dirty thoughts. It doesn't work anymore. And that is where they are going to lose it from God. And they say, "Oh Lord, thou dost not make any mistake. That wall, it is there for a reason. That wall that is about thy holiness. That wall that is in regards to thy righteousness. That is right because thou art right." That brings us to our third thought, the door. Oh, the wall is there. Oh Lord, that is in a fair way. I'm so unworthy to be rescued. Oh, now the Holy Spirit is making room for the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He's making room to go in through the door itself, himself. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ has no value for a natural man or woman. But then he gets value, he gains value as the only way, as the only truth, as the only life. In short, as the door to God. And that is also what the Lord Jesus says. No one could come to the Father except through me. And in that parable, it's actually that he would then say, no one gets into that safe sheepfold except through me. I am the door. We have to enter in. We have to enter in. Because if you do not enter in, we will in eternity be lost in a night of darkness. Oh, we need that entrance, that perfect entrance that is the Lord Jesus Christ. No, God has no heaven seekers. God has God seekers. And if one enters through Christ, what does that mean? That is not that they want to go to heaven and then I'm safe and I will live forever and I am not scared anymore about death and dying. And no, that's not what I mean here. That's not what the Lord Jesus means with heaven. Heaven, that's the place where he is. Are you longing for a place where he is? Where everything is holy, where is no sin? Are you longing for a place without sin? Do you hate sin then, now, today? Every sin, all sins? When do we enter in exactly? In fact, we enter in that moment of regeneration. That is what the Lord does in our soul. Without us. In us. Like the Dort's canons say. Then we are made one plant with Christ. Then we are united with him. Then we are made alive. And Satan cannot restore that. In fact, that's perfect. That's one new life and that will stay forever. But that is different by knowing it. We know that only by a given faith in exercise. So, yes, it's not only that we are made alive in that hour of regeneration, it's also that we receive a drop of love coming into the soul. And there God is working through his Holy Ghost. Is that our question? O Lord, how will I appear justified before Thou, that righteous God? The Holy Law, we love it. The Holy Word, we love it. Going to church, we start to love that. God's Day, we love God's Day. We love everything of God because we love God Himself. But you know, I need to be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's the question this afternoon. Do I know the door? Am I saved by Him? Are you hiding behind Him by grace? Have you not heard His voice? Because that's what He says. My sheep hear my voice. Is there people here that cannot find the door? Again, is here a people that not can find the door? That door is hidden. Our eyes are blind for the door. Like with Lot in Sodom, they couldn't find the door. In a different way, we are blind for Jesus Christ. He is a hidden person. And then, oh, you start to ask for eyes to see Him, spiritual eyes. And if the Lord has promised it, He will do it. That's what we heard this morning. So it was with Simeon. The Lord has promised him something. He would see Israel's consolation before he died. And yes, he has received that promise. But the promise can be comforting. It is not the fulfillment itself. And therefore, Simeon was every day in the temple. And then by grace, he saw a young man and a young woman and a little child. And then his eyes of faith were opened by the Holy Ghost to see in that child there the Lord Jesus Christ as his Redeemer, as the Messiah, as the promised Savior. And that was enough. Let's sing with him. With Simeon. Sing along with Simeon. 450. Now may thy servant, Lord, according to thy word, depart in exaltation. My rest shall be serene. For lo, mine eyes have seen thy wonderful salvation. 450. the Pilgrim's Progress. If Christian goes out of the city, there he has to die because he is sinful and he's a sinner, godless. He flees away. And there is a man with a book in his hand. And then he points to a light. You have to go that way to the light. A light to show the way. Oh, the Lord Jesus says, I am the light. I am the way. I am the door. And if you have nothing left, then death before your eyes. Oh, the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. Come in as you are, with your dirty clothes, and with your dirty soul, and with your dirty thoughts, and with your many, many, many countless sins. Come in as you are. You cannot make yourself clean. He cleanses you. And that is faith and exercise, if he reveals himself. What people are there? That sheep. Who are they? What is their character? Well, the first thing is they are very weak. Weak animals. Sheep are not strong. Shepherds had to watch over the flock. Because, yeah, they are defenseless. Are you weak? Or are you a strong Christian? That's not according to the word of God. God has weak sheep in his flock. And they are dumb. So dumb. They lose the way. Time and again. Oh, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known, the Lord says. Something more to say? Oh, they are all different. That's also true. They are all different. You have the little lambs that are not stable on their feet. They can fall. So young. But there are also more adult sheep, experienced sheep. They can educate the lambs. Also is in church life. Some want to listen to an experienced child of God. There are differences in character, in gifts, in age. And yes, the way of one child of God is not the way of another child of God. But they all know experientially the three parts of the catechism, and especially the door. Do you know the door? Do you know where the door is? And was that door the way for you, the only way that was left over to God? Did you hear his voice? Did you see him? That Lamb of God. Oh, he is also the shepherd of the very small, the little ones. And he gathers them in his arms. Be careful. Be careful in judging people. No two children of God are the same. But they have something in common. One thing. They know experiential the three parts, especially they all have go through that door. Through that one and only door. Jesus Christ. They know him. They know him. They have learned something about him. They have seen something of him. They have heard something from his precious lips.
And then it is by Jesus Christ alone that enters through him. He is united with him. And if you do not know still who the Lord Jesus Christ is for me, oh, ask the Lord that you will not have any rest. Don't try to climb over the wall, because there will be a day that everything will be clear, and then is it go away. Many people were expecting to go right and directly to heaven, and they fell into hell. But there is another side. There are many people that are scared to be in all eternity in hell, and then they fell into heaven. What's the difference? Ach, there is one difference. They know the door with that capital letter. Yes or no. Oh, do not rest, congregation, without knowing him. And then he will go in and out. What is that, going in and out? It is the walk of life. In the morning you go out the door, and in the evening you come into your house. And also it is with the sheep. In the morning they go out, and in the evening they come in. They are going in and out. What is meant here? To live in the way for the eye of that good shepherd. Just as the sheep move before the eye of that good shepherd. The Lord says unto Abram, walk before me and be thou perfect. Oh, the Lord is always having an eye on his sheep. And if they went out and come in the evening and they bow their knees before their beds, their conscience is not in rest, and they have to ask again, forgive us our debts. Oh, the debts of this day, every day again. Every day you need bread, isn't it? But also every day you have to pray, forgive us our debts. And they are hungering and thirsting again for the righteousness that is in Christ, not in me, but in him. Oh, the Lord will protect them. He will see them all day. And nothing can split you from the unity with the good shepherd. And the congregation, we have to come to an end. Your life will also come to an end. Will it be this week? We do not know that. Will it be this year? It's unknown. But it's possible that it is today. And your life is so empty and so dangerous without that good shepherd. Oh, you have to be brought in the door. The Lord Jesus Christ, ask for the living faith in him. But if you by grace have entered through the only door, the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, you are safe, eternally safe. And you will rejoice in him, praise him and thank him. Not only him, the triune God, the Father, for his free and sovereign election, the Holy Spirit for making you alive and instructing and guiding you day by day, and you will thank
perfectly, the Son for being your door to eternal life and to eternal peace, that he would be the door to the Father. And now, oh, they will sing without any shortage. They will fully rejoice in him who is the door, the light, the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, eternal life. Amen. We try to thank the Lord. Oh Lord, thou hast heard everything. Oh, we ask thee, forgive all our shortcomings and sins in speaking and listening and thinking. But bless thy own word and bring it into our hearts. Man cannot do that. We need thy Holy Ghost. Oh, that would be an undeserved blessing. We have begun our new week on this first day of the week, Sunday. Spare us, be with us, protect us, our life, our health, and that we will not sin this week, this day, this hour, this minute. Oh, our hearts are so godless, but it is a wonder that there is a Savior, and that he is willing to save the worst of all, the most godless of all. There is such a room of salvation in him and his precious blood. O Lord, apply it unto our hearts. We ask thee, help us a third time in Oberford. Be with the minister of this congregation, Fort MacLeod, our dear brother, Den Hollander. Be with him, with his wife, with his family. Be with the custodian, the organists, and also with the consistory, with our dear friends here in Fort MacLeod. Oh, we ask thee for a blessing for all and everyone, young and old. We pray for all this village, all this country, this world. It is so in need. The Prince of Darkness is busy to split churches, to split congregations, to split this world, make enemies, and bring them to darkness. O Lord, may then the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shine in our hearts, in our congregations. Extend thy kingdom. Thy kingdom will come. O, may we be with and in that kingdom, one of them. We ask that in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Lord, let's sing 426. The stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. 426. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. He hears my voice, my cry and supplication. So, 426.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Bless you.